has a different mission, a different goal. We march to the beat of a different drummer. We begin our new year today. We fix our eyes on Jesus, who has come, who comes today, and who promises to come again. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts this first Sunday in Advent. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, number 331, The Advent of Our King. 331, The Advent of Our King, will stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. The propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings are on the back. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. Just a couple of notes. The choir will be singing the antiphon for the introit. We'll also have a special Alleluia and verse. We'll be singing the gradual. And there are two hymns where the choir will be singing a verse. Just note the different spots in the bulletin. And we pray that God would richly bless us in that respect. During the season of Advent, we refrain from singing the hymn of praise, the Gloria. I believe that's all of our notes. And one final announcement. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Carolyn Lang. Carolyn passed away Tuesday morning, suddenly and unexpectedly. The funeral service for Carolyn will be here at Good Shepherd tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. We keep Morris and the rest of the family in our prayers, and we pray that their comfort would be in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon the new church year that begins this day. Heavenly Father, you have kept your promises in the past. You keep your promises today. Teach us that in the midst of our waiting, we can trust you to keep your promises in the future. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come to save us, from ourselves, to save us from the devil, the world, and our flesh, to save us from our sin. Heavenly Father, teach us to wait and to rejoice as we fix our eyes on Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 331.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We now have the introit. We'll sing it as it is listed in the bulletin.
Thank you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together the appointed gradual. Chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia and the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for our hymn of the day, 332, "Savior of the Nations Come." The choir will sing the third verse, hymn 332.
Thank you.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Our message today is based on all of our readings, especially these two verses from our gospel. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you." Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have to admit, Advent has always been a bit of a mystery, an enigma for me. I never quite knew what to do with it. Oh, I love the hymns. Loved all the pomp and circumstance with the blue and the Advent wreath and all of the fluff and the frills, but I could never quite figure out why Advent existed. Oh, sure, back in the olden days, Advent was a time of repentance, a time when people were encouraged to go to individual confession and absolution, prepare their hearts and souls for the celebration of Christmas, sort of a Lent before Christmas, but those days are long gone. Advent is a mostly forgotten festival in the church. People don't want to repent. People don't want to pause. Our world is so caught up with the celebration of Christmas, and really has been for well over a month, that the idea of slowing down, pausing, waiting, preparing, these things, they fall on deaf ears. And so the church has struggled to adapt. When I was young, I would come to church, and I couldn't quite figure out what Advent was preparing us for. Christmas is in a few weeks. But then the readings and the hymns talk about the promises of a Messiah who was to come. Some weeks, the readings and the hymns talk about the promises of Jesus who will come at the end of the world. And today our readings talk about Jesus coming right now. So what is it? Is our focus on the promises that God made in the past to send a Savior? Is our focus on the fact that God keeps His promises right here and right now and will until the end of the world? Is our focus on the fact that we need to prepare and get ready because the world will end and Jesus will come back in power and might and glory? Is the focus that we should prepare our hearts each and every day? Is our focus that we should wait patiently in the Lord? The answer is simply, yes, 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 yes. You see, really, there is no mystery to Advent. The only mystery is we don't want to hear the message that God has for us. The message of waiting patiently. Maybe you've seen these Advent calendars. They used to be a big deal about 20 or 25 years ago. Somebody came up with this wild and crazy idea that you should have an Advent calendar, and then every day before Christmas, you should open one little box or one little category in your Advent calendar, and then behind it would be a little trinket, a little toy, or a little piece of candy. You know what I'm talking about? To teach you to wait patiently as you get ready for Christmas. Well, I don't know what your experience has been, but my experience with my kids, in my family, with pretty much every preschooler that we tried to teach this to here at Good Shepherd, is this. You do this, play the game of waiting for about, 2 or 3 days, and then you open up all the little boxes and eat all the candy. Maybe you're more disciplined than me, or than most. We don't want to wait, do we? We want what we want, and we want it now. Not just talking about a little piece of candy in an Advent calendar. It pretty much goes through every aspect of life. Waiting patiently. Waiting patiently. This is not a gift most of us have. My friends, God's Word during this season of Advent, God's Word today teaches us to wait patiently. But it's not just a moral law requirement. You're not doing it, so you should get better. How can we, as fallen, sinful, selfish, in a hurry human beings, wait patiently? God not only teaches us, God gives us the power, the strength, and the new heart. A new, patient heart. You want to talk about patience? The people in the Old Testament were promised a Savior. They were promised a Savior from their captivity under the Egyptians, and they waited. Not so patiently, but they waited for more than 400 years. God gave a promise. God gave a word. And when God gives a promise, when He gives a word, it is sure and certain. You can take it to the bank. He does not always or often give us a timetable. But if God says it, He will do it. Our God cannot lie. God makes a promise, and unlike you and me and the rest of the world, God makes a promise and He keeps it. My friends, if this is so difficult for us to understand, comprehend, and believe, God keeps His promises. Look around in the world. Nobody keeps their promises. Everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything that you feel is a lie. Our politicians, they lie. Our scientists, they lie. Our loved ones, they lie. And it hurts. But even more than the hurt and pain that comes from catching someone in a lie, it teaches us. It teaches us to be hard and cold and calloused. We are skeptical of everyone and everything. Instead of putting the best construction on everything, we assume the worst. We assume that everything is a lie. based on past history and past performance, it pretty much appears we're doing the right thing. Because we've become so jaded in our world, we bring that attitude into our faith life, into God's house. We can't trust anybody else. Why should we trust God? We can't trust the leaders in the world. Why should we trust the words in a book called the Bible? Everybody lies to us. Why should we trust what the pastor preaches and teaches? My friends, God cannot lie. God keeps his promises. The Old Testament records for us the hard lessons that the children of Israel learned as they waited for the Lord. They waited for the Lord to keep his promise that he would send a Savior, send a Messiah, send a Christ. And because they weren't very good at waiting, because they didn't trust God or take him at his word, they began to follow all kinds of other false gods. The number one God that they followed was the God of their heart. In other words, they wanted what they wanted, and they wanted it now. There's nothing new under the sun. And so God loved them enough to teach them patience, to send faithful prophets to call them to repentance when they followed false idols or the idol of their heart. God brought them a word of forgiveness. God brought them a word of promise. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Wait patiently for the day of the Lord. My friends, our Old Testament reading teaches us that God gives a word and we can take that word to the bank. In our gospel reading, we see this word fulfilled. The king is coming. The king is coming. And now the king is here. Matthew 21, fast forwards past all the trappings of Christmas. Matthew 21 takes us to Palm Sunday. Jesus riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, riding into Jerusalem to die. God kept his word. He sent his son. Jesus comes. He comes for you. He comes for me. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And that means not some earthly kingdom, not some materialistic king who dispenses what we want when we want it, but a king who comes to save us through his bloody death and glorious resurrection. You want to talk about a mystery that God would love us to the point of sending his son for us. God promised that a Savior would come. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. Jesus comes. Jesus comes to deliver you from sin, death, and the grave. Jesus comes to take away your sin. Jesus comes to bear the burden of the law for you. Jesus comes to hang and die the death you deserve on Calvary's cross. Jesus comes to die. And that's exactly what he did. But that's not the only reason why Jesus comes. Jesus comes to rise from the dead, proving that his sacrifice is sufficient for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. Jesus comes to set you free from the bondage of your sin. He came riding in on a beast of burden. What burdens you? What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? We're all afraid of dying. This last year, maybe that's been ratcheted up a notch or 10. He comes to take away your burdens, your worries, your cares. Doesn't mean that the situation in the world immediately changes. It means that as we wait patiently for God to fulfill his promises, we know that we are in his hands, the nail-scarred hands of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, where he has proven his love for you and me and the entire world. Jesus has come. Jesus has kept his promises. Jesus has paid for your sins. Jesus ascended into heaven and left us alone? No. Jesus promises that wherever the word of God is proclaimed and taught in its truth and purity, wherever the sacraments of God are administered according to his command and promise, there he is. Here, now, loving, caring, comforting, forgiving. God hasn't abandoned us or left us as orphans. In the same way that Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the crowd saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Today, Jesus comes riding in to 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska. He comes riding in on bread and wine, which are his very body and blood. And what do the people of God here sing? The same song. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us now. And that's exactly what he does. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours as your King comes to you, comes to forgive you, comes to assure you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. My friends, one of the messages of Advent is one that we don't often like to think about. Jesus has come. God kept his promise. Jesus comes today. He keeps his promise. Jesus is coming again. God wants us to be ready every day. You know, if there's anything that the events of the last 9 months can teach us, is that things can change in an instant, whether it be in the world or in the stock market or in your family. My friends, God's word is true. In the same way that we saw Jesus ascend into heaven, Jesus will return in power and might and glory to judge the living and the dead. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for this day to come and to come quickly when we pray, "Deliver us from evil." Get me out of here. Not in my time, but in your perfect time, Lord. Teach me to number my days. Teach me that in good or bad, that I can cling to your word and to your promise, because you cannot lie and you keep your word. Teach me not only to number my days, but teach me how to live as a redeemed child of God, not as the world wants me to live, not in this eat, drink, and be merry because you're going to die kind of defeatist attitude, but teach me to owe no one anything except to love each other. Teach me to love your commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Teach me to love. Teach me to know what time it is. Teach me to stay awake to your word and to your promises. Teach me to walk in the light of your love, the light of your forgiveness, not in the ways of darkness that keep calling me and alluring me back in. Teach me, Lord, to stay away from the perversions of this world, orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality, sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. In other words, teach me how to behave on my computer and social media. Teach me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we put on Jesus? He's already been put on you in the gifts of holy baptism, where God washed you clean and robed you with his righteousness. My friends, God calls us each and every day to return to the baptismal font, to drown there with all of our sins and lusts and evil desires and rise forth a new creation, ready to hear the word of God, love him, and serve one another. My friends, we are not patient people. The world has taught us to have a jagged edge with regard to anything anybody says, even our preacher. For all of the times when we have been sinfully impatient, for all of the times when we have treated the word of God like any other word, for all of the times when we have thought that God could and would lie to us, for all of the times when we have put our hope and trust in things of this earth rather than the sure and certain word of God, Christ has come and shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Christ comes to you today in the very body and blood of Jesus placed on your lips. And God promises that Jesus will come again, not to come and judge you in terror, but to bring you, his baptized children, into the mansion prepared for you since the beginning of time. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, and our ears in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we used the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 159. Please stand as you're able.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests listed in the bulletin, we also pray for Joyce, Amy Steele's aunt, recovering from surgery. We pray for Max Roberts, nephew of Joe and Lucy Roberts. And we pray for Hee Kyung Court, recovering from surgery, and we pray for Myrna Heckman. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls, and in you we put our trust. Do not let us be ashamed of our hope, but come quickly. Sustain us by your Holy Spirit, that we may have joy at the advent of Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously, Lord, awaken your saints from sleep and idleness as we enter another church year. Encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Give us boldness and faithfulness, and be with our synod president, Matthew, our district president, Rich, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Renew the faith and quicken the love of all Christians to cast off works of darkness and to put on Christ and live as children of the eternal day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in your fear, and that children would honor their parents and be well equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, be with our governing authorities and enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for Donald, our president, for Pete, our governor, for Larion, our mayor, for our military and police and other civil servants, as well as all newly elected officials. Increase a spirit of unity and cooperation among the people of our land and the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, behold in mercy all who are in any danger, trouble, sickness, or need. Hear our prayers for the sick and suffering, especially those in our own midst, including Barb, Marta, Elaine, Pastor Russert, Kelly, Mildred, Jim, Lynn, John, Susie, Vern, Myrna, Joyce, Max, Hee Kyung, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Give health to our world and bring the pandemic to an end. Comfort all those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Carolyn Lang, and sustain them with confident hope in the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing together the offertory, page 159. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Christ, for you. Lord, bless you and keep you.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis. us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 350.
Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, our King, who comes to save us. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Wish everyone a happy and blessed Advent. If you didn't get a chance to get the Good Shepherd news and notes, they're on the table where you came in. That's also, we're not gathering our offering right now. That's the offering box. Our mission for this month, this will be the last Sunday for our emphasis on Pastor Paul, missionary in Taiwan. So newsletters, all kinds of information on that. We'll have a new mission project starting next Sunday. Also, we had a week off because of Thanksgiving with our midweek and confirmation class. We're back on Wednesday. No Advent meals this year. We'll have midweek and confirmation, like always, at 5 o'clock. Advent midweek worship at 6:30. Our focus this year will be on the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We pray that God would bless us with our Advent journey to the manger, to the cross, to the empty tomb. We do have some goodies. One of our members called yesterday. We have some individually wrapped things. I don't know how much is there. First come, first serve. Let's not have a stampede or anything like that. Bible study is in the fellowship hall. We have our tables spaced, and just be sensitive to everybody else's space during these times. Goodies on the table. If you want to stand around and visit, make sure you respect everybody's space as well in that respect. Sunday school opening will be in here in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whenever you get in here. And then the kids will join the rest of the families for Bible study in the fellowship hall. They will be practicing the whole time today. Okay. All right. Our third Advent service this year will be kind of a scaled down Christmas program, mostly the kids singing, and it'll be great. It'll be great. Anything at Seward tonight?
The kids are home for the year.
Kids are home for the year.
They'll be back next year in January.
Okay. I did not realize they had that long of a break. All right. Lifelight Bible Study is back on Thursday. Check out the news and notes. We'll dismiss from the back to the front, from the back to the front. Blessed Advent in Christ.